help us to commence this evening with hymn 277. Now I see, whatever betide, all is well if Christ be mine. He has promised to provide, may he teach me to resign. 277.
Let us read from the Word of God in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, and also reading some verses in the book of the prophet Malachi. Isaiah chapter 40, and just reading here the first 11 verses. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Let us also read, friends, in the book of the prophet Malachi, just reading there in the third chapter, the first six verses. Malachi chapter 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And I will come near to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow, and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Thus far we read, friends. May the Lord bless his holy word to us this night. May he help us each in prayer. We seek to continue in prayers. Dear deacons of pride, help us, Lord. Oh, give us that favour now in approaching thee to gain thine ear. Oh, thou great God and Father, our Father in heaven, we plead the precious name of thy dear beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the name the Father loves to hear his children plead. Oh, we plead in that way, Lord. Oh, that thou wouldst look in mercy upon us. May we know that great favour tonight, to feel to be accepted in the Beloved. Oh, we come before thee with no merit, Lord. We've got nothing, Lord, we can bring in our hands to bring and plead for merit. Oh, we come empty and undone. We come with our sins and must confess them. Help us truly, sincerely to confess them, Lord, so that we might not be coming before thee with words that are untrue. Oh, Lord, for thou seest, thou discernest the thought and the intents of the heart. Thou seest us through and through. We beg, Lord, we might each feel the solemnity of this. Thou, God, seest me. And, O Lord, may it be so with each of us, us older ones and the younger ones too. Oh, may that solemn truth, may we know it and feel it and feel to be under awe of thy truth. Thou, God, seest me. So we do not and will not be coming with confession to inform thee, Lord, that, oh, we would have real solemn, true, humble confession of all our sins, and us feel that sorrow, Lord, and be in real repentance. And then, Lord, we believe we shall know the great favour as we plead the blood that did for sin atone. Oh, give us this great favour, Lord. Oh, thou hast, we trust, brought us into some measure of light and understanding through thy solemn teaching, that there is but one way of salvation. And here we greatly need salvation. Thou knowest each one who has been solemnly taught this. Thou hast taught them it, made them to know how greatly they need to know an interest in thy great salvation. Thou knowest how that dear forerunner, dear John, he came to give his holy purpose, to give knowledge of salvation through the remission of sins. And that was not in himself, it was that one. Oh, that one preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. Oh, we beg, Lord, tonight we may be looking to thee alone. Oh, come into thee, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to his cross, thy cross, Lord, we cling. Oh, Lord, give us that favour. Oh, may we come and bow low at the foot of the cross by faith, and see thee there, Lord, our Saviour, our dear Redeemer. Oh, Lord, thou knowest how solemnly we feel our melody, how is it we've been singing, Lord. Oh, Lord, there must be that royal feeling, solemn sense of one's guilt and sin. And then that favour, through thy tender mercies, Lord, then we can plead and look to thee and know all is well, if thou art ours. Oh, bless souls here tonight. There are those we do believe are very anxious and very concerned. Others may be in lukewarmness and little concern, if any concern. Thou knowest what's needed, Lord, in each heart, each case. Oh, we pray, do come in and by and through the power of the Holy Spirit to attend to the cases here tonight. Do, Lord, suit thy blessing to each case. Those that are heavily laden, Lord, oh, how sweet that theme will be to such. Now he said, cast, he says, on me thy care. 'Tis enough that I am nigh. But, oh Lord, if we are not feeling that weight and burden, now we need thee to stir us up into solemn exercise. Oh Lord, it is thy way and purpose to convince of sin. The Holy Spirit's work to convince of sin, then to lead to Jesus' blood. Oh, we do pray that thus thou wilt so appear here tonight and be among us, Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit to work in precious souls. Oh, to do them good, Lord, to do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, this part of thy Zion, Lord. Our denomination, our little churches, our gatherings together unto thee, Lord. We humbly trust we form a part of thy Zion. And oh, we pray, Lord, that thus we may know thy blessing. As thou hast brought us together, Lord, tonight, we pray it may be proved to be a divine appointment. And thou to do some poor soul good. Oh, work and perform thy eternal purposes here among thy people here. Thou knowest how they so stately, regularly worship here, gathered together for worship. Thou hast made them a loving people, a very sincere people, and a continuing consistently. But Lord, all this, we know they even need more than this. And oh, we pray they might know much more. They might even know much, Lord, the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. And sendest thy dear servants to them, Lord. They are well favoured in this, and how thou dost supply them, Lord. And oh, we do believe they do really need a pastor to come in and out among them. Oh Lord, if it be thy will, stir the church up in exercise for this. And oh, may there be those wonderful evidences of thy appearing that shall confirm those that carry the burden for it. And oh Lord, as we believe, it must be all of thy will. Oh Lord, the little church, they will look to thee for this. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sends the man. We feel humbled, Lord, in our churches as we so favoured, Lord, in these latter years to see those younger men sent forth into the work. Some of us, Lord, thou knowest how long we know not. But we know the grasshopper becomes a burden. And Lord, thou knowest, as thou hast taken recently a number of thy dear servants in the past year and this year. Oh, well, we should be, even in this, acknowledging thy perfect right to take thy dear servants home. But Lord, also, we should be thankful for thy wonderful providing in sending forth younger men into the work. Oh, we pray, Lord, thus thou wilt bless and use them, Lord, and favour them, and use them as they come here among thy dear people here, and in each of our little causes, our own home cause, we look for thy appearing, Lord, thy appearing in blessing souls. Thy appearing, Lord, is what we burdened for. Thou wouldst so work in precious souls, quicken the dead into life according to thy will. Oh, we look for thy appearing us in beginning thy work in precious souls. There are those we have much laid in our heart and pray for day by day. We bring them unto thee, Lord. Some are sad cases, and they greatly burden us. And Lord, the weight and the burden of their souls is very, very weighty. Oh Lord, we do pray. Thou would show those that are unconcerned, Lord, what they are and where they are. Show them thyself, Lord. Show them themselves and show them thyself. And teach them one thing is needful. As they go on so much caught up and careful for the things of this life, oh Lord, how solemn to go on and not be careful and concerned about our never dying souls. Oh, we are thankful, Lord, for loved ones and friends who are helped to earn their livelihood and to seek to get honourably through in that way. And some in business life and in whatever sphere they're in, Lord, in their daily lives. And we, Lord, feel thankfulness and sweet pleasure naturally where we see there's that prosperity rightly, wholesomely and honestly. But, oh Lord, we're burdened for their souls. Oh, may they not be left to go on in all these things of natural life and neglect thy great salvation. May we not neglect it. Oh, do ever stir us up to real concern, Lord. Oh, we do dread to think that day of our death will come suddenly and we not be prepared. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must have worked before, for it is all of grace. Some of us, Lord, need thee to come and appear for us again. Some need renewings, Lord, of those things they hope they knew. Some need thee, Lord, to, Lord, although they may not feel it, there's a need for thee to put thy hand the second time to the work. Thou knowest. We would not be in judgment of that. Lord, it's all in thy hand. Thou knowest the cases. Oh, we pray, Lord, as thou wilt work, and as thou hast said, thou stated in thy holy truth, I will work and who shall let it. We cast all our burden upon thee, Lord. For precious souls, oh Lord, hear our cries for them. And oh, may they come into a real exercise to cry in their own personal need, to cry for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh Lord, oh, we pray then, oh, bless precious souls. And oh, if there's any, Lord, who have known thy blessing in recent days, and they are, Lord, going on now, having not paid their vow. Oh, is it so with any one of the friends here? Hast thou blessed a soul, an older one or a younger one? And they've known that favour of thy blessing. And, oh, Lord, have they failed to acknowledge and praise? Oh, are there those who should be saying, should be coming out in testimony, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare unto you what the Lord has done for my soul. Oh Lord, thou knowest the need, the cases. Oh, thou knowest how all those years we kept back, and all those years we were rebellious regarding going forth in the ministry. And Lord, thou knowest also how thou didst have to so solemnly chasten us. Oh Lord, we pray in love. Oh, in mercy work and draw by thy wonderful love thy sheep to follow thee. O Lord, may thy wonderful love be shed abroad in sinners' hearts this night. O, may we know and taste redeeming love. May it be much known, Lord. O, we beg according to thy will, do so come tonight and dispense thy favours here. Feed thy people, Lord. Feed them, lift them up forever. Do them good, Lord, and get to thyself the honour and glory due unto thee. May we ever, Lord, remember that and pray in that way. Not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name we must give glory. No flesh shall glory in thy presence. So hear our confessions and our pleadings, Lord. And come and favour us here tonight. O Lord, thou knowest all our burdens for many as we bring before thee day by day. Oh, many friends up and down across the land. And those in mourning, Lord, families in mourning, we especially remember them. And our friends here, and Lord, that we are still pondering over and meditating on of the service of Savior. Oh, thou knowest what a sweet and blessed time we felt there. Do comfort our dear friends, Lord. Oh, what great consolation they know. But, O Lord, the great matter personally, prepare me. Oh, we've seen one and another as shocks of corn fully ripe before they're taken home. How will it be with us? Do so make us right and keep us right, Lord. Prepare my soul for that great day. Wash me in the Saviour's blood and take my sins away. O Lord, we bless thee where thou hast worked and favoured souls. We rejoice with those that rejoice. We mourn with those that mourn. May we know it, truly know it in our gatherings together in the Church of God when sorrow flows from eye to eye, and love from heart to heart. So we beg thy help now, Lord. We beg thy help in the singing of thy praises. Bless and help our dear friend. Oh, thou knowest we felt the first hymn sweet, some sweet confirming in it. Oh, Lord, do come and favour us now as we seek to turn to thy word and consider that word thou didst give us to awake with this morning. Oh, and now the great favour of it, now it applies and is known. Oh, so appears in thy people's souls' cases. Oh, Lord, do come, thou best of all blessings, best of all donations. Do come, Lord. We beg thee come. We ask for thy dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 927. Thou only sovereign of my heart, my refuge, my almighty friend, and can my soul from thee depart, on whom alone my hopes depend. 927.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. And one will read the text just as it was in my heart, upon my spirit, as we awoke this morning. The 78th verse, that is Luke chapter 1, verse 78. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. It was a very dark day, very dark time. We read of it prophesied in Isaiah. The days were dark, but Isaiah says the dimness shall not be as it was at other certain times, but it was still dark. But wonderfully, these wonderful things that are in record in this chapter were being witnessed and experienced of the Lord appearing, especially to two of his dear handmaids. Of course, Elizabeth's full time had come, and she had brought forth her son, and they named him Zacharias, but his father said no, and they gave him the writing table, and he wrote his name is John. And as we've read in that way, in those parts of prophecy, oh, he must come. Isaiah must first come, spoken of by Isaiah, spoken of also in Malachi, this wonderful messenger, the greatest prophet, no greater prophet than John the Baptist, believed from his mother's womb. There was only one John the Baptist, but though he was a great prophet, he, in humble, in humility and love, he said, he must increase, I must decrease. And so we have it in the record here. And though this day was dark, these wonderful things were appearing. And we have it here in this way stated. Especially, it's important for us to see the near context to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Oh, how the dear people there at that time must have felt such sacred awe, such wonder. And of course, it's recorded here in the Word of God, the record of it. And if we know anything about these things, the importance of these wonderful truths, it will be a great wonder to us. These things are stated as they are through the tender mercy of our God. Now I want tonight, it is in my heart in exercise, and we trust for God's purpose for each one of you in your individual cases. If you are a concerned soul, a needy soul, if God has begun to teach you, and this may be with some of you what you want confirming, you want to be assured of, you want to know God loves you, you are anxious about that, or if you are not anxious, if you are not concerned, I have to say you're in a very solemn place, because you don't know how soon you're going to come to the end of your life. And we read in the Word of God, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. And so the greatest, most important matter that we should be concerned for is to be saved by grace, to be prepared for death and the judgment day. And so there's the situation as I feel it upon me to make clear. And we are living under the eyes of an all-seeing, holy, holy, holy God. God Jehovah, the living God, the only true God is God Jehovah. And he hates sin, and he sees everything. He knows everything about each one of us. And he will punish sin. Every sin that's committed shall be punished by God. You say, that doesn't leave me any hope. It will do if you are brought under God's teaching. And this is what is so vital and important. It's very sad if we just come into chapel and hearing the Word of God read and the Word preached, and just going on thinking we're all right, because that won't make us ready for eternity. In that way, we will not be prepared for the judgment day. What we need is God to prepare us. And we need to know and be concerned to know that God is preparing us to stand before his face. And so, friends, you can see, and these dear people at this time, how important it was to any gracious character, as some of these were. And when these words were so given in this way and known in this way, to give this one who must be the forerunner of Christ, the prophet of the highest, and he come, and his work was come, to speak of Christ, to give knowledge of salvation through the remission of sins. And then, he acknowledges through the tender mercy, it's acknowledged through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us. Those that believed, those that received this, those that were so in exercise receiving this fact, that this was God's wonderful way. The birth of John the Baptist, he to grow and be in the wilderness. And then when the Son of God had come to years, appointed time, then he to say in those wonderful words, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," to give knowledge of salvation through the remission of sins. But it's not John the Baptist, it's the Son of God himself. It's he. We sing, "'Tis God's dear Son, wrapped in humanity to die for crimes." And this is what you need and I need, to be able to say and not to presume it, to wrapped in humanity to die for crimes that I have done. That's what we need, friends, need the assurance of. And so here, This text we had in our heart awakened this morning through the tender mercy of our God. Some of what I've said may, and I hope it has affected some of you in a way you think, well, however shall I stand before this great, terrible, holy, holy God? And I felt that in my early days. God, the holy, just and righteous three, that the Trinity, God Jehovah, they were a terror to my mind. God was a terror to my mind. And it can be so in early experience especially. And if we've committed later on sins against light and knowledge, it will maybe come solemnly to us again in that way, God be such a terror to our mind. But we have here a blessed word through the tender mercy of our God. Our God He is the God of tender mercy to and for his people. Oh, we think of our God Jehovah and the Father, and the blessed Holy dear Son of God, and the blessed Spirit, the three are one. And in the heart and bosom of God is this most perfect tenderness, this most perfect blessed feeling of tenderness, the tender mercy. God does afflict. He does afflict. He does convict and convince his people of their sin. But he does it in the perfect purpose of his holy mind, that he might then reveal the precious Christ. Did you notice in the hymn, especially the Lord was there mentioned his name. And what we have here, friends, is one of the blessed sacred names of Christ, Dayspring. As just as well as he is Daystar. Yes, Dayspring. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the Dayspring from on high hath visited us. Some of us can give testimony of this. The Dayspring from on high hath visited us. If you are in the dark and in the depths, if you are under conviction, new conviction maybe, if you are feeling so much tonight that you have sinned against your God, you've grieved him, oh, don't forget his tender mercy. He is always, we sing of our Saviour, his heart is made of tenderness, his bowels melt with love. Touched with a sympathy within, he knows our feeble frame. He knows what sore temptations mean. And you say, well, that's just it. I've fallen under those sore temptations of Satan. And they are sore temptations more now because I know I've fallen under them. But you see, he knows what sore temptations mean, for he has felt the same through the tender mercy of our God. And this is the way, friends, the Lord is going to restore you. This was so with the psalmist. He restoreth my soul. And it is this way, because it's God's heart is made of tenderness. His bowels melt with love. Through the tender mercy of our God. If you're a young soul, and you have been, and you are troubled by feeling those awful feelings of dread of God. It may be, and you maybe, as God gives you more light, you'll understand it. I hope you will. I trust you will. You see, God must convict and convince of sin. We read of it in the Word. He will convince of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. You won't need the Saviour unless you're brought to know something of conviction of sin. And this is God's way. This is God's way. He works in different depths, in different characters, as it's needed. He knows perfectly the depth and the amount and the weight and the burden of this solemn experience will be, that he must work in his people to make them know what a wretched, guilty, hell-deserving sinner they are, and to bring them in his time to repentance over their sins, to make them a mourner over their sins and after Christ. Oh, his tender mercy is such that he does work in that depth and measure what he, as sovereign God, knows perfectly is needed in each one of his people, some deeper than others, some more weightily he lays upon them the burden of sin. But they are all taught sin's demerit, and then they gladly own salvation free. And from Sinai, which they must know something of, where the law was given, The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. From Sinai to the wounds of Jesus' flesh, stripped of all and fancied meekness to approach the dread I am. They are led to see all fitness centering in the worthy Lamb. Through the tender mercy of our God. So friends, where are you tonight? Where are you in experience? And you say, well, I have experienced things. I have experienced things which have made me really solemnly concerned. I have had to know much conviction of sin. My great trouble is I cannot cease from sin. Like the hymn says, my grief, my burden, long has been, because I could not cease from sin. You must have a new heart then, because you wouldn't feel that burden in your old heart, in your natural heart. You wouldn't be feeling that grief in your natural heart. Our natural hearts are wicked. Wicked. We've got a wicked heart, natural heart. God's given you a new heart. If you do really grieve over grieving him, if you do feel inward grief over sinning and adding sin to sin, you're two natures in one person. God's quickened you into life. You're born of the Spirit. He's teaching you by his Spirit. He's sanctifying you. He's separating you out to his praise. He's making you know these things. Oh, to be brought to really grieve over sinning and grieving the Lord, it's the effect of knowing something of God's love. It is that God has made you know something of his love in your heart. You love him. You grieve because you love him. You grieve over your sinning because you love your God. You think of it naturally. What's the most sad and painful thing to a young child? If they've grieved their father. If they've been, and I want to use the word carefully, naughty and done things wrong and grieved their father. I think that would be, it may be father or mother. But you know, if you hurt your closest dear one by doing something that really makes them sad, you feel it, don't you? It's because there is that close relationship. Those ties of blood. But you think of in the things of God. You won't be grieving over your sins if there wasn't a true relationship. God having set his love on you and having begun in you and having been so made precious to you, and you've known something of his holy love shed abroad in your heart. This is what makes your grief so much great and so much more solemn. Yes, but oh, he still is your God of tender mercy. He is still the same as Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He doesn't change. An earthly brother drops his hold. He's sometimes hot, sometimes cold, but Jesus is the same. And so, friends, oh, if we could really get into this tonight, through the tender mercy of our God. We've done a lot of travelling lately. I have been touched, and my dear one has, through the tender mercy of our God in watching over us and keeping us. We've travelled north through mighty snowstorms, two of them. And really, Frightening it was on the very busy roads, the major roads. But it made us think, and made us feel thankful. You see, but that's a natural figure. But in spiritual things, whatever way it is, he's not cut you off. You have to say that your sins testify against him. But do you feel some measure of amazement? He's not cut you off. He hasn't dealt with you as according to your sins, or rewarded you according to your iniquities. It's his tender mercy, his love, his loving kindness, through the tender mercy of our God, your God, my God. Oh, through the tender mercy of our God. Of course, Luke has the record here, you see. And as Luke is favoured to know and be given, exercised by the Spirit to make this record, and here it is on the sacred page, he's led like that through the tender mercy of our God. It was relating to those people present at the time, Zacharias and Elizabeth and Mary and others that may have been in their company, and the situation in Israel at the time, and the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us. But friends, what you need, if you have been deeply burdened and troubled, and if it is in early days of experience when you felt so much your guilt and the great concern God's working in you is, am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Am I one that God will eternally accept and take home to glory? Like Paul the Apostle writes in Ephesians, the first chapter, made accepted in the Beloved. Oh, this is what you want to know. This is what you want the assurance of. Others here who had the assurance and had the favour of God, experienced the favours of his grace, and maybe some of you in years past, trust you did receive the pardon of your sins, but many days have passed since then. Many changes you have known. You may have had also in providential things great disappointment, and whereas you may have had a situation and it seemed all turned upside down, but you now, as God teaches you, you can more perhaps accept it's in the will of God, and it's come to teach me. And the greatest, most important matter is, how stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. Is Jesus' blood thy only plea? Is he thy great forerunner then? God's teaching you in this way. There's much in this, if you know these things, if God's dealing with you, you should be able to acknowledge, and God will give the light measure of it needed so that you can acknowledge it's the tender mercy of our God. Maybe those who live together honourably, as we would seek to do, you know, you can talk to a dear, close loved one. Wonderful if you can. Wonderful if it is so given you, so to walk together in love and knowing something of the love and mercy of God, the tender mercy of our God. Oh, how blessed if it is so given to you, so that you say, the theme of that sweet hymn is what you long to know more of, and oh, to be praying for it and seeking for it, to know God's presence. And like the hymn writer puts it, I've quoted it several times lately in preaching in this last week or so, hand in hand, we would be walking. I in Jesus' new commands, of his love would e'er be talking, till we reach fair Canaan's land. Oh, friends, I believe if the dear spirit so touch you, melt you in this way through this word, through the tender mercy of our God, where he gives you to, though you may have been plagued with unbelief, brings you to that point where you can say, be gone unbelief, my Saviour is near. And that faith he gives in exercise for my relief, for our relief will surely appear. And wrestling with the Lord in prayer and gaining God's ear, finding, feeling access to God your Heavenly Father, as you plead the precious name of Jesus, you really are led into this. Our God is so kind and tender and loving. The tender mercy of our God, mercy, and you plead this mercy through blood. I make my plea, O God, be merciful to me. And through the tender mercy of our God, the Lord, by the Spirit, is leading you in exercise. He's come to you. He's appearing for you. And he's coming to visit. When Jesus, with his mighty love, visits my troubled breast, my doubts subside, my fears remove, and I'm completely blessed. Is he coming? Can you feel this? I've had a few times in my experience when I could feel with sweet expectation the Lord coming to one's aid, coming in mercy, coming and beginning to shed abroad his love. And oh, the blessedness of it, the blessedness of sweet expectation, the exercise, the favour, the faculties exercised by grace, whereby we begin to lay hold of the hope in the gospel, to lay hold of a precious Christ. The day spring. It's been dark. It's been very dark. But the day spring. He who brings light and he who enlivens, he who brings liberty, the day spring from on high. Oh, and the day star appears. The day spring from on high comes with a love visit. When he visits our troubled breast. Oh, here we have it in the way it's laid and set in Scripture. But this is set in Scripture to be proved many, many, many times. Oh, we could not and would not be right to bring any kind of estimate of how many times, but he has visited us, and he will visit, he does visit, and he visits his people in love and mercy, the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us. And you know, if you've had a visit, and some of you have years ago, you want another visit, don't you? This proves the exercise of your soul. This proves that you are not a counterfeit character. This proves that you are not one who's a hypocrite. This proves that you are a true-born child of God, for God's maintained you in exercise. He's not left you. He's not left you to make a shipwreck of faith. He's not left you to go back under perdition. He's not left you to be like Lot's wife. Oh, he's not. And he's not going to leave you. He says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that thou mayest boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The tender mercy of our God. The day spring. Oh, what wonderful prophet. Some of God's people have known through watching for the morning, watching for the first rays of light of day, they that watch for the morning. And we have the emphasis in the word of how God works and exercises his people in such an exercise. It's emphasised their exercise is so urgent, more than they that watch for the morning. Now, it's because it's so important. It's the greatest, most important matter. But the people of God, if they're in true spiritual exercise and real need and real exercise for their soul's salvation, it will be more than they that watch for the morning. It will be this, friends. Give me Christ, or else I die. But through the tender mercy of our God, Christ, the Son of God, is made to be the most precious one, the object of your first desire, Jesus crucified for me. Now, bringing your experience, your exercise to that test, friends, to consider it with that kind of test, is he the most precious one? Is he your transport and your trust? Is he the one thing needful? Can you, when you sing that hymn, Jesus is the one thing needful, I without him perish must, do you sing it from your heart? Is it the reality of the truth regarding you? He is the most needful. I think we said last night in preaching Ripley, Jesus is the one thing needful. He's needful in all stations, while in Meshach I reside. And I think I quoted it last evening. We're preaching from the word, then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them to their desired haven. And I think I quoted, in death, thou wilt most needful be, when I yield up my soul to thee. See, it won't be just then. I know it can be. It was so with the dying thief, wasn't it? But you know, if you're here in chapel tonight, for the right and real reasons, and with the real exercise, I believe you'll say Jesus is the one thing needful. I believe that will be part of your testimony. You see, the test is what think ye of Christ. He's the day spring. He's the day spring. He brings light. He proves life. And he brings liberty to the child of God. He's the day spring. He's that one who has done all things well. He's that one, captain of salvation, king in Zion, glorious leader of the church. He who has come, suffered, bled and died, brought in eternal salvation, full and complete redemption, the wonderful favour for God's people to know and taste redeeming love, to know that sacred pardon of sin, pardon and peace through the blood of the Lamb. To know my Jesus crucified, by far excels all things beside. All earthly good I count but loss and triumph in my Saviour's cross. Day spring. Oh, lovely one. Lovely, lovely man, that loving man who rules the courts of bliss, the Lord of hosts, the eternal God, the eternal Prince of Peace. Now, some of us can say, I felt I could feel this and I could testify this morning. It filled my heart with thankfulness and praise to God through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us in trouble, has visited us in sorrow, has visited us in the path of maybe loss and carrying a cross, has visited us, has visited us in the vale of tears, has visited us in Meshach's discouraging land. The day spring from on high has visited us. Oh, this is so sometimes with a people, not wanting to wrongly speak. I believe this could be applied, and I believe it is felt by the dear people at Earthlingborough. The day spring from on high has visited us. The Lord has been at work. The Lord has done his work and brought to pass, brought the favour, brought it to be openly witnessed. Oh, that it might be so here yet again. You can say, your precious souls here are the witnesses of it. They were made to be witnesses of the love they felt, the love of Christ. How they would be made to be able to witness the favour of being blessed and then to testify of it. The day spring from on high hath visited us. Those that are graciously exercised here long to see this day spring appear again, to visit you here at Spavacy. It's in my heart to pray for you. I pray for all my friends in the churches every morning. The burden of my heart is for your soul salvation and for your blessing. Burden of my heart, as you may have heard tonight, I try to beg tonight the Lord would raise up for you an under-shepherd here, and that you might so be blessed in that way. God so working and manifesting his favour. But oh, personally in your very hearts and souls, your case is met. The Lord working to bless. The Lord working to establish souls in the faith. Oh, our desire and prayer is that the day spring may appear. Some of us can say has appeared. The day spring from on high has visited us. And we know his visits. His love visits, so precious. Oh, blessed we are. Then we sing, love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my power, my all. The day spring from on high hath visited us. And oh, what sacred favour, what holy love is known and experienced. The blessed favour, oh, and the love of Christ constrains. Jesus draws the chosen race by his sweet, resistless grace, causing them to hear his call and before his feet to fall. The day spring. Day spring. The day spring from on high. From heaven. You know, if you look at that and understand that right, it's the result, the blessing flowing down from our triune God, and all the sovereign purposes of God, and brought to pass, brought to be witnessed, the Lord's appearing. You know, if we really exercise the servants of God, we will be carrying an exercise of love for the Lord's appearing. The Lord would bless souls, and so it may be witness of his appearing, in his working in precious souls, his shedding abroad his love in them, his drawing them by the cause of a man, even the Son of God drawing, by his holy cause of his love. And there be that holy joy and peace in believing in the Church of God. The cup running over, and as we quoted earlier, the precious favour of being able to testify, and the confidence of faith so given, the assurance of faith. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not just here, in glory. That wonderful place where glory, glory dwelleth, in Emmanuel's land. And sung last evening, In the midst of tribulation, let us lift a wishful eye to our future habitation, and by faith, the surest by. Oh, the day star, whereby the day star from on high hath visited us. From on high, when he comes down into his garden to eat his pleasant fruits. Oh, my heart is full of desire for you, that the Lord would again come down into his garden here and eat his pleasant fruits. There might be the fruits appear upon the branch in that way. Actually, this word day spring, coming from the original, is also the same as God's servant, the branch, which is that wonderful branch growing not from down on earth, but from heaven. The fact he came down, stooped down to wretchedness and dust, that guilty worms might rise, did the holy unto dust, the just, the sovereign of the skies, stoop down to wretchedness and dust, that guilty worms might rise. Yes, the dear Redeemer left his throne, his radiant throne on high. That's God's servant, the branch. That's this day spring. You go to the region and find that, and you can find it stated another way in Jeremiah from the original, God's servant, the branch. And really, all his blessed holy names, they all to be dovetailed in unity, the unity of the Spirit that is so known and felt by God's people, when Christ is felt to be so precious, when his love fills a sinner's heart, their souls are set on fire to love him in return. They then say, we love him like John, because he first loved us. Oh, who this day spring visits his people to do them good, to recover them from the snare of the devil, save them from the snare of the fowler. He comes for that. He will never let the devil get his people. He will never let him have them. He loves his people, great and small. And he brings them all in. His grace is so effective. Sovereign grace, sovereign love, sovereign mercy, tender mercies, the tender mercy of our God. He's a performing God, you see, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. He performs. He says, he performeth the work appointed for us. Many such things are with him. He does it, friends. They never miss calling one of his dead elect. They must be called. They must be brought. They must be brought to believe. They must be saved by grace. All Israel shall to glory go as trophies of his grace through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. It is a very solemn thing to let these love visits pass by, and we not testify of them. You know, his love visits are most precious, most blessed, but of course most vitally to confirm a soul in his or her standing for time and eternity. Once in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. And I feel this much, that if we are left to be so neglectful to let these love visits pass and go, and we commit in sins of omission, deny our Lord of his rightful praise. You know, that's grieving to him. Grieving to him who has done so much for us. I'll leave you with the words, "You were blessed here when they were sung, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like me his praise should sing." Amen.
Let us close with hymn 1073. Holy Ghost, dispel our sadness, pierce the clouds of nature's night. Come, thou source of joy and gladness, breathe thy life and spread thy light. 1073.
Cover with the mantle of thy forgiving love anything that thy holy and pure eyes have seen amiss. Bless thy word, Lord. Oh, do grant those that feel such need, grant them a love visit. Oh, Lord, do not let us leave go on when we've had a taste, known and taste redeeming love. Oh, help us to live to thy praise. We beg, Lord, help us each. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.